David was the youngest of amongst eight brothers, but in this particular story, in David and Goliath, there is a lineage that is numbered where it says Jesse had eight sons, three of which were already enlisted into the army of Saul, and then David himself being the youngest. But there's another set of brothers that were never listed, never named in this particular story. But to me, when I begin to read this particular story, I understood that there's some times in life that those that are close to you, even relatives, that as you're going through your walk and your journey towards your destiny, there's some that will be with you, some will be against you, and some will never even be an influence towards your destiny. They're just still family. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong at all with that. Not everybody is there to be an instrument for your destiny, but there's some. And the ones that are the few, are the ones that challenge you in your identity. See, when David was told by Jesse to go and take cheese, I made a comment on Sunday that he was taking government cheese, you know, the WIC cheese. You know, we've all had our moments of being under government assistance, but he was taking cheese. And this is just my insight. This was not what the Lord gave me, so calm down, calm down. This is not in the Bible, Pastor. But listen, I began to see things in a way that I know that over the course of my life, we were on government assistance, and sometimes that government cheese is all we had. But I know that God is grateful. He's grateful for everything that we are doing by giving Him our very best. He receives that. So when we have little, we're grateful for it. We thank God for it. But see, David was obeying his authority, his father. Leave these sheep, I'll tend to them. And you go and take this to your brothers. And come back and give me a report on how they are. So David goes out to the battle line, and here he sees his brothers, and he goes and gives to the caretakers of the goods. He gives to the cheese to them and takes off to go and see his brothers. And the eldest brother, the eldest, says, "What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be tending those few sheep?" See, every time that God puts you in position, He's getting ready to put you in promotion. But a challenge will come to the ones that are closest to you. They don't always understand what you're going through, how you're processing, and what God has given you and where He's taking you. You can't be looking for validation from everybody. You've just got to know that you know in your knower that God sent you there. When you obey authority, and the authority is inclined to hear from God, then He will take you to places by your obedience that is better than any sacrifice. He will get you to that place of promotion. And when you get to that place of promotion, it may not be what you thought it was going to be. It may not look like what you thought it was going to look like. You never thought that your destiny was going to be 9 feet tall, all dressed in bronze. The bronze in Scripture always represents judgment. The description goes out about Goliath, about he had a helmet of bronze. It speaks of a religious mindset. That religious mindset of this giant begins to speak and taunt the enemies. It taunts his enemies, but truly is taunting the church, Israel, the army of Israel. And when you read in Scripture, Israel represents the church of today. How many giants carry judgment that you're facing? They judge you of your past. They judge you of your current situation. And then they prejudge you of what they don't even know what's to come. But because of your past, judgment is already placed on your future. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm getting ready to preach here in my office. But I know this right now, that even the very thought of a religious mindset addressing you from afar will keep you standing in a different place, a lower place. It'll keep you in that place where you can never look to progress forward because a judgmental giant is speaking directly at you. The Bible says in this particular story that he began to taunt them so much that he called out one of them, "Just send me one from your army. And if they defeat me, we will be your slaves. But if I defeat that one,
you will be ours. You see, the enemy knows how to get you scared and to keep you in your tracks. The Bible says that Saul gathered his army and they encamped across the valley, and they were all encamped in one particular area. But from day to day, he would taunt them. If you're dressed for battle, when are you going to fight? When are you going to fight? Or you just want to look like you're dressed for battle? Or you just want to look like you're important? Or do you want to just look like, just because you're carrying a Bible, going to church, that you're a Christian? Maybe we've got to put on the full armor of God and not just sit there and wait for the attack. Maybe we have got to go forward and bring the attack to the enemy. Come on, somebody. We've got to make a change to what is going on in the society around us, but we can't let the enemy taunt us by a religious spirit saying that we cannot speak truth. When David heard this giant speaking, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who taunts the armies of God? This is a young boy who is dealing with sheep, tending to the sheep of his father. I don't know about you, but David was learning so much more about those sheep than anything else. He was learning about being a future shepherd for a kingdom that would be established. You see, David, being around sheep, he knew that there's a lot of times they get wounded. Sheep bite. They bite each other. And as they bite each other, it's just like the churches today. The church today, we have people hurting each other in the church. We have people today that are sitting together, worshiping together and praising together, but talking about each other in church. Sheep bite. They wound. They hurt. So as a shepherd, as David was, what did David do? He knew about the liniment. See, the liniment is an ointment that he would put on the wounds of the sheep that will bring healing to the wounds. It would deafen the pain so that it wouldn't be so painful, but it would allow for the healing process. Now, I don't know about you. If you've ever been around sheep, they stink. They stink. You look around today in churches today, you think that everybody's got it together, but there's something inside of them called the stinking thinking that sometimes keeps us from moving forward in God. We all have it. Come on. I'm being vulnerable here. I got it at times. I even doubt sometimes the messages that I'm preaching. Like, God, I don't know about this one. And he says, just be obedient to me, son. And then I get checked in my spirit. My mind gets renewed. We have our stinking thinking that comes on. It's a religious mindset at times, thinking that as long as we're in the certain place, we'll be okay. As long as we're doing what is good, good people go to heaven. No, the people that go to heaven are the ones that accept Jesus and accept change. They repent of their sins, what turn away from, don't go back and do again. That's what repentance is, true repentance of the heart. See, so David knew there were some things going on in the sheep that he had to continually put this liniment on these sheep that were wounded. Not only did he put the liniment on there, they carry fleas. Fleas. You believe that? Fleas. We all have fleas. We got something to suck in the blood, the life out of us. They have ticks. The ticks that sucks the blood right out of you. And guess what he would use to get that off? He would use the liniment. He put the liniment on there. It was a foul odor. It had the parasites come off of them. You see, there's some things that go on as we as believers continue on with the walk with God that are stinking thinking, the parasites that have been attached to us, that are interwoven within the fabric of our being, begin to suck the life out of us if we pay attention to them, listen to them, obey them, but never get rid of them. Come on, we have got to make change in the way we're doing things today so that we can no longer continue to allow these parasites to come and suck the life out of us, our purpose out of us, and begin to make the way that we think towards our destiny to be changed based upon what is sucking right out of us. You see, when Goliath was taunting them, he was that parasite in the mind that began to speak about them to address the fear that was in them based upon something that came from a place of judgment. Whew, that'll preach all by itself. Goliath came from a place called Gath, which is the wine press. I don't know about you, but when I've been in the press, I'm not too happy about the press. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. When you're just not happy about everything that you're going through, you're not smiling, you're not jumping around, giving joys for the Lord is good. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. No, you are going through some stuff, and sometimes you don't give the right responses. No wonder why Goliath was so mad. He had nothing but judgment. He came from the wine press, and because he was 9 feet tall, don't you think he got all kinds of flack from people? You don't look like us. You don't even act like us. You look different. You look strange. But it wasn't until later when they said, you know what? That's a big dude right there. Let's put him in the army and let's get him to fight. He became a greatest warrior. He was the champion, the Bible says. I don't know about you, but when you've been picked on so much, been bullied by your own people around you been bullying you, you get to the point where you get so fearless that you just, I don't care who it is, I'll take on anybody. All you want to do is get all that stuff out of you anyhow. All you really want to do is get all that pain that's inside of you out. You want to inflict pain on others because it's pain that's inside of you. Come on, who am I ministering to you right now? That the things that are inside of you are the very things that you want to inflict on others. If you've got all kinds of confusion, you put people in other confusion because you don't want to listen to truth or wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. See, what was happening is that Goliath was taunting the very army of God. Then it says that it even gives a description about his armor that was on his chest. It was like scales, brass scales, like that of a fish. And it brings, remember, when you hear about Christianity, the one of the symbolisms besides the cross is the fish. Christianity is the fish. It was like the enemy was taunting their faith in God, faith in who Christ is, and saying that I am, look at what I've done, this is my treasures, I've been eating up all of these Christians and these believers in God Yahweh, and that I'm going to be the champion again. There ain't nobody coming to defy me, there ain't nobody coming to defend Israel. I call anyone out. And at this time, here's David bringing the cheese. He goes to the front, he hears all of this. So then he begins to inquire. Watch this. He hears something first. This is going to bless somebody. When you begin to hear destiny from the future begin to speak to you in your now, you begin to react with a question. What is it that I receive if I take this giant out? Are you hearing me? Every time there is a threat that comes from your future based on your past, based on your present, and your identity, it is beginning to speak to you that will you hear your destiny in the midst of your distraction. Oh, come on, somebody. I should get a hallelujah and an amen. I wish I was in the house of manna right now in the service getting some people going. I'd call Josh up to start strumming, calling the minstrel to come forth and begin to play. Because I hear the Spirit of God saying this, that it is time for us to hear the sound of destiny calling us out. My God. Calling us to a place that we will stand and say, who is this that challenges the armies of God? You uncircumcised Philistine. You so fleshy. Let me deal with that flesh. Let me cut that thing. Matter of fact, I'm going to start at the very top. You see, David understood that there was destiny inside of him. Destiny. There was destiny to come forth. Destiny. It's inside of us all. But a religious mindset from a giant that's in your life is keeping you on the other side of the mountain, is keeping you on the other side of the valley, keeping you from the distance of destiny. Come on, somebody. We have got to allow God to begin to take us to places we've never been. It may not look like it's a church setting. It may not look like the Holy Ghost is there, but you ain't supposed to be looking with your eyes. You're supposed to be perceiving by your spirit. You're supposed to be doing this by faith, not by sight. That's what faith is. And if you're hoping for a dynamic destiny, come on, dynamic destiny, you're going to be in places that you have never been before. It don't look like it's God. Don't even look like the kingdom of God. But you'll be placing someplace in the front lines against the enemy. Quit running, quit retreating. It's time to move forward. My God. Then it gives a third description about another thing that Goliath was wearing. It says that the shin guards that were on him, upon his feet and upon his sandals, were made of brass. That's just judgment all over the walk. Have you had someone judging your walk in God? That's judgment that comes and gets you. A religious mindset that comes to judge your walk towards God. It may not be the same. It may not be like how mama did it, or your grandma, your auntie, your uncle, or your daddy, the way they pursued God. But maybe you're pursuing God in a whole different way. Well, I'm here to encourage you. You pursue God the way God is leading you to pursue him. I only read in scripture one time when there was one person that wrestled with God. And it wasn't until he perceived that it was God and not the angel of the Lord that he said, I'm not letting go till you bless me. Come on. Are we going to wrestle with God until our identity is changed? Jacob the supplanter became Israel. You see, destiny sometimes causes you to wrestle. And you've got to wrestle with your identity, who you are now, who you were then, so that you can become who God wants you to be there in your future, your destiny. See, Goliath was taunting the very destiny of David. And every time that there's a challenge that's going forth into the body of Christ, there is always an authority figure in the church that doesn't like this new move or doesn't care for these new things that are taking place. And they begin to call it all kinds of names and they begin to label it. They want to put their ways of thinking on you. See, what Saul did is says, okay, so you're the one that wants to go out and fight. You just a little boy here, put on my armor. In other words, he's trying to put the things that were on Saul on David. Some things you just can't carry because it's not for you to carry. Who am I speaking to? It ain't for you to be carrying somebody else's burden. It's for you to carry your own burden, continue to walk forward, and cast all your cares and your burdens upon Christ. People sometimes want to put things on you that you have no business carrying. If God didn't birth it through you, it ain't for you to carry. If God didn't birth that thing inside of you, it wasn't for you to continue to be carrying that thing to see it to fulfillment. You've got to know that God has called you to a certain place. And if he's called you to a certain place, you carry that thing all the way through. Why? Because he birthed it inside of you for such a time as this. Beloved, I pray right now that you hear the very Spirit of God speaking right now. This battle isn't yours. It wasn't one that you selected, but it's the one that God called for you to come out of the field, come to the battle line. You may be coming like Little Red Riding Hood with a basket for lunch, coming to grandma's house, but you don't know that God has something set up for you. Come on, somebody. You may be walking through the wilderness, not even knowing what you're going to do. You may be walking through the wilderness, not even seeing where you're going, because it seems like every time that we're in the middle of our wilderness experience, we can't see straight, look up, look down, or even find out where we're at. But God is calling us to a place. He is drawing us by the Spirit of the living God. He was calling us to go and face these particular giants in our life that keep us so fearful. The Bible says that the army of Saul was so sore afraid. Sore. Not just afraid, but they were so scared. They trembled so much that they were sore. Come on. You know you have something scared when you're shaking so much that your whole body's sore. Huh. Shaking like a coward. Lord. All I know is David saw them, and then here comes his older brother. Older brother says, what you doing here? I know your heart. I know your ways. Has someone ever been there when people tell you, I know your ways. I know who you are. You ain't nothing but a deceiver. You need to get back to where you came from. Jealousy rises up every time you're getting ready to get blessed. Jealousy rises up every time you're about to go to a different dimension. Jealousy rises up when there's perpetual movement going on inside of you and something says, I'm not staying where I am right now. There is something better for me on the other side. And if this valley in between me and that giant, I will go to the middle of that valley and I will face this giant, because up on the other side of this valley experience comes my destiny. My destiny means that even though Saul said, whoever beats this giant gets my daughter to be a wife. But here's the most important thing that he said. He said that now, if you also get my daughter after beating this giant, your family will never have to pay taxes again. I'm telling you, he said, that's it. No more government cheese. No more having to go and depend on the government for any. You know what? I'm getting ready to deal with this thing. So maybe your giant is lack. Maybe your giant is not being able to get above and beyond where you've been, maybe for so many years. Maybe you have never experienced a promotion in your life that begins to change your socioeconomic status. But I'm here to prophesy to you today that God is getting ready to move you to a whole different plane. He's moving you to a whole different level. He's moving you to a whole different dimension. He's speaking to your mind first. Renew your mind. Renew your heart, the breastplate. Renew your walk in God. Begin to move things forward in God so that the Spirit of the living God will guide you all the way through. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Someone is getting ready to be set free from all this loaded bar thinking. You're below the bar, you're not above, and you always feel like you're beneath. But baby, you are the head and not the tail. You are blessed coming and blessed going. You are called to be the lender, not the borrower. You are the head and not the tail. You are coming with victory, because God has granted you victory. My God. When Saul tried to put this thing on David, David said, no. This is just too big. This don't fit me. You see, somebody can't put on the king's vestments on you before your time. Come on, somebody. Before your time. You have got to still go through the process, and the timing of God will begin to make you grow into the vestments of a king at a later time, but you're still being prepared for the kingdom. Hello, come on. I'm speaking to somebody today. You may not be called to be king right now, but you're about to be called by the anointing oil of the prophet that is going to be poured on you when everybody else overlooked you. And then just says, oh, but I do have one that is tending the sheep. Woo! And Samuel the prophet said, bring me that one, and we will wait until then. My God. David knew he can't be walking in this anointing right now. Right now, he's got to go deal with something that has a mindset of the old, that has a heart of the old, and have a walk of the old that has taunted me in my past and in my now. But my future, whew, my God, is inside of what I've been carrying. Watch this. How did David defeat Goliath? By reaching into a pouch that he had a smooth stone, put it in that slingshot, hit that giant between the eyes. What did he do? He disoriented the enemy by slinging the rock. My God. He just released Jesus right between his eyes. I come in the name of the Most High God. I come in the name of the Lord. And he released that rock. Jesus was the rock. And released it between the eyes of the enemy. Saying, you're not going to distort my vision of the people of Israel. You're not going to distort my vision of the one that I've called to be king and don't even know it yet. Because you're going down. And what was so cold about this whole thing? After that giant hit the ground, my God, this is what David did. He took that sword of the enemy and cut off the head of the enemy. Boy, I wish if you were someone, would give me a shout right now, because he's saying this. The enemy will be defeated and cut off with his own instrument. Come on. If fear is what he's using to keep you petrified and to keep you paralyzed, then he's going to be so fearful at you once you make a stand and continue to move forward, and fear is going to cripple the enemy. Maybe he's been using sickness and disease in your body to keep you from moving forward towards your destiny. What God is going to allow you to do the moment you step foot forward and move forward, then you're going to put fear and you're going to put a spirit right back on him. What spirit is that? That is the spirit and the fortitude of Christ inside of you that will begin to come forth and will begin to make him fear and tremble, like, who is this little one that I've been taunting this whole time? Who is this child here that is coming to fight against me? I've caused all kinds of havoc in their life. I've caused all kinds of distress in their life. But now they're coming with such passion and they're coming with such force towards me. I don't understand this. Now you put confusion back into the enemy. You see, the very thing that the enemy is using against you is the very thing that's going to take the head off of the enemy. If you got lack in your life, lack is going to be done away with. And prosperity is going to come. Healing is going to come. Now, remember what I said about those four brothers that weren't there? Because David continued to move on and do what he needed to do. Family got restored together in the kingdom. I'm here to prophesy to you and beloved as I come to a close now. God is going to restore you in the position of your family and the position of the family. God is going to restore you and your family into destiny that is purposed. Come on. Destiny that is purpose, not destiny that you found on accident. Destiny that is discovered because you're walking towards purpose. There is restoration coming to the body of Christ. There is victory over many milestones that we have not been able to overcome. But beloved, I'm telling you this, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle. But he will call you up to the battle line to use what is unconventional in war to get your victory. To get your victory. Make it personal. Make it personal. As I sit here and begin to go over the very message on Sunday, I look back at some of the folks in the eyes that I saw. Many eyes were weeping and crying. Many people were experiencing or even going through the process of thinking where they've been. But now they're in a whole different area of their life. Get ready for your victory. It has drawn nigh to you. See, whatever religious spirit that has kept you so bound, whether it be religious thinking, a religious heart, a religious walk, the Redeemer, Christ the Anointed One, Christ the Redeemer, is coming to redeem you right now from your circumstance. As I close in prayer, I pray that this is a message that really ministers to you, that the battle isn't yours. It is the Lord's. But some things we have to do is to prepare ourselves to face the very thing that is inside of us, that is keeping us so paralyzed, keeping us from moving forward. So, beloved, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, the Most High God, that you bless every listener that is listening to this podcast. Let it be shared throughout many times. This battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. But we do have to prepare ourselves to step on the battle line. He may call you to do great things. And some of those great things are being just a mother. And I say that not to say just, but it's not a religious glorified position, as many would say. But a mother is a praying mother. And the prayers of the righteous availeth much. If he's called you to be a father that will speak blessings and release blessings unto your children. See, David wasn't fighting for just himself. He was fighting for a people that would follow him, a generation that would begin to emerge that was not of the same spirit or same heart as of the old. So I pray right now that you receive this very spirit of a warrior, that you're victorious, and that you will take that stance and take that step forward towards your destiny. I plead the blood of Jesus from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that whatever giant has been facing you, we're going to release Jesus to this giant. And we will have victory in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I bless you. I pray this in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. If we were all together in a convocation right now, I'd say that all of God's children said amen. I pray that you're amening me right now and saying hallelujah, for the Lord is good and worthy to be praised. God bless you, House of Manna. God bless you, people that are listening, visitors that are listening to the House of Manna podcast. I pray that it was a blessing. I pray more importantly that God continues to show himself strong in your life. God bless you. We love you here at the House of Manna. I look forward to seeing you soon. Look forward to hearing from you if you would just drop a line on our website in the comment section at www.thehouseofmanna.com. You can leave a testimony there for you. If you want to get angry at Pastor for some of the things I said, you can put it on there too. Don't expect a response because I'm not going to argue with you. I just want to bless you. I believe that God wants his people to be blessed. So God bless you. We love you here at the House of Manna. Pray God's richest blessings over your life and through your life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Love you.